Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem. Welcome back to today's Daf. Bechiras Daf Tesvav. We are holding on Yud Daled Amud Beis, the second wide line. Im Meisu, he put back to the Mishnah. We had two categories. One animal had been assigned as a korban with Kedushas HaGuf. Was actually inherently kadosh, suitable for offering on the Mizbeach. In that case, even if it got blemished along the way, went sour, it is considered besulei hamikdashim, a disqualified carbon, in which case, even after redemption, it still maintains some residual kedusha regarding many matters. A step below that was the animal which had been blemished prior to becoming Hekdesh. So he took a severely blemished animal and designated it for a carbon. Rashi explains, you know what happens in this case? It's not going to become inherently Kaddish. It merely has Kedushas Damim LaMizbeach, meaning its value will be directed to the Mizbeach. He will sell it and use the money to buy a carbon. So these are two levels of Kachi Mizbeach. One is merely Kedushas Damim, it's monetarily Kaddish, and one is Kedushas HaGuf, inherently Kaddish. Okay, now the Mishnah says that when it's only Kedushas Damim, so once you do the pidyon, once you redeem it, it's back to normal. It's considered an ordinary animal. In fact, even if it dies before you redeem it, imesu yipadu, just redeem it. Despite the fact that you can't really apply the mandated process of ha'amada v'ha'arocha, which is described in the Pasuk, in terms of assessing prior to redemption, ha'amada, you stand up the animal, you assess it properly. You can't do that. It's dead on the ground, imesu. So how could you redeem it? The answer is there's no requirement for ha'amada v'harocha. If it's merely kedushas damim, and was never really inherently kaddish and meant for a korban. Whereas in the second part of the Mishnah, we speak about the next level, which had kedushas ha'guf. In that case, if it dies, you can't redeem it, because that is true kaddish mizbech. It's a true animal meant for a mizbech, which means that if it goes sour, you have to redeem it properly with ha'amada, with ha'arocha. You have to have it stand upright and assess it properly. Okay, so before we proceed, let's just categorize it. Basically, we have three levels. We have Kachi Mizbeach, as we discussed, two levels within that. Right? The top level is the Kedushas HaGuf. It was inherently Kaddish, then it went sour. Below that, we have number two, which is an animal meant for Mizbeach, but it merely had Kedushas Damim. So its value will be directed to the Mizbeach. Sell it, you buy, you know, another animal, use it as a carbon. Then we have below that level 3, which we have yet to discuss. Kache bedek habayis, something which a fellow merely donated to the building fund, to the treasury, unrelated to the Mizbeach, unrelated to Akrava. Now, it's a big machlekes. Which one of these require ha'amada v'ha'arocha? This process of standing him up erect and the animal and assessing it. So clearly, in our Mishnah, we learn that kachim mizbeach need hamada v'arocha, right? And that explains why. We had discussed both levels in the Mishnah. Number one, number two. Number one is the inherent kedusha. Number two is the merely monetary kedusha of kachim mizbeach. And Mishnah clearly tells us that in the number one, you need Hamad HaVaruch, and therefore if it dies, you can't redeem it. So who's speaking in this Mishnah? Who requires Hamad HaVaruch by Kachim Mizbeach? Because there's a big machlokes. Some say you do, some say you don't. Amar Rida Barav, Zu Devrei, whose opinion is this? Rabbi Shimon, the Amar tells us that yes, Kachim Mizbeach. Animals meant for Akrava, Hoy B'chlal Hamad HaVaruch, need to be processed this way. they need to be properly assessed with Hamada Baracha. That explains why if it dies prior to redemption, you have to bury it. So only Kachim Mizbeach, as we're going to see in a minute, only the top level of Kachim Mizbeach, the Kedush Sagof, which we call number one, but Kachim Bedekabayis, which is level three, doesn't need Hamada Baracha. This none, as we have a Mishnah, Meseches Tumura. If it dies, you just redeem it. There's no need to do Hamada Baracha. That's level three. Because only level one requires it. But level three does not, and nor does level two, which is the animal directed for Mizbeach use, but not inherently Kaddish, only for its money, right? Even Rav Shimon would agree. If this animal was blemished from the get-go and then assigned for Mizbeach, it's not really level one, it's level two. Shanifta, just redeem it, even though you can't put it through the Hamada Baruch process. My time. Why? Why is this different than level number one? Damakra, the Pasuk one, speaking about the Hamada Baruch done to a proper carbon. Damakra, Oysa, is an exclusion. Limutei Balmum Mikar, as opposed to level two, which is Balmum Mikarai, which does not require Hamada Baruch. Okay, so according to Rabbi Shimon, Hamada Baruch only applies to level one, which is Kedushas Haguf L'Mizbeach, but not level two, which is merely Kedushas Damim L'Mizbeach, or level three, which is Kedushas Bedek Habayis. That's his opinion. Aval Chachamim, I remember there's a shita called Chachamim, who apply Hamada Baruch to all three levels without differentiation. One, two, and three. Aval Chachamim, I remember, Imesu Yikaveru. Even level two, if it dies, you have to bury it because you can't get it up and assess it. Man Chachamim, what's the name to the face? Who are the Chachamim? Tanad Ve'Levi, who applies this process to all levels. Tanad Ve'Levi, Ha'koil Hayu B'chlal Amad V'Aracha. All types of Hekdesh, one, two, and three levels, are all included in this process. V'afilu B'amim Yikara, even level two, which is an animal which is inherently unfit for Mizbeach. V'chein Tanad Ve'Levi, V'mas Nisi, likewise he presented in his Braisa. It applies to all types and stripes. Afilu chayev, afilu oif, even an animal, a fowl, a chicken, even things which were never suitable for a carbon. So he donated it for, you know, bedek habayis. In order to redeem, you have to do Hamada Baruch. Oksiv oysa. What about the word oysa, which is coming to exclude something? Oysa l'tan levi kashi, right, we haven't really resolved what the lesson of oysa is. Okay. Says the Gemara. So far we have two opinions, right? We have Tanad Ve'Levi, that this process, meaning this Hamada Baruch process, applies to level 1, 2, and 3, without differentiation. Versus Rav Shimon, who applies it merely to level 1. But there is yet a third shita. You see over there, Meseches Tmura. We have the Chachamim who disagreed with Rav Shimon over there, which is a different, a third opinion. And according to the way Rabbi Yechon learns over there, they apply this process of Hamada Baruch to Bedek Habayis, which is level 3, and also to Kachi Mizbeach. To level number 1. So our Mishnah reflects their Shita as well, right? Aval Rabbanan Tipligi Oled Rabbi Shimon Mai. But what would you say the opinion of the Chachamim over there in Maseches Tmura who argue with Rabbi Shimon? He says it only applies to level 1. They say it applies even to level 3, but also to level 1. Hachinami Demesu Yipadu. So according to them, you're implying that the same, you know, would hold true according to them, meaning that Hamada Baruch applies to level 1 too, and therefore if it dies before redemption, if it's level 1, you have to bury it. If it's level 2, right, you can just redeem it, because it only applies to level 1 or 3. Dimei suyipod, if it dies before redemption, you just redeem it. Yachi, if that is so, then why did, you know, in the beginning of our segment, we have Rabbi Yudama Rav. Who's speaking now, Mishnah? That only applies to level 1, not to level 2. That's Rabbi Shimon. Well, it's not just Rabbi Shimon, it's Rabbanon too. Yachi, if that's the case, we turn to the next page. Zu divi Rabbi Shimon umachloika sami boiler. He should have said, well, this is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon and his disputants. Because they also agree that Hamad Aruch applies to level 1. So why didn't he lump together Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim? I understand there's Tanna Dvei Levi who disagrees. He says that Hamad Aruch applies to all levels. And that opinion is certainly not reflected in our Mishnah. But both Rabbi Shimon and apparently the Chachamim concur that it applies to level 1, which is the subject matter of our Mishnah, not level 2. So why don't we just pair them together? Amri. So the answer was given like this. Rav, who limited our Mishnah, you know, in line with Rav Shimon, and did not put it in line with Chachamim, because he held a different, he had a different version of the Chachamim. He held like Rav Shimon Lakish's explanation of the Chachamim over there in Maseches Tzemura, that Hamad Baruch only applies to level 3, not to level 1 or level 2. So that's inconsistent with our Mishnah, that Hamad Baruch applies to level 1. Amri, so the answer was given like this. Rav, who presented our equation, Rav Shimon Lakish, he was in line with that perspective. The Amar who says, L'Rabban, according to Rabban, Nachkotche Vedek HaBayis is only level 3. Hoyu B'chol Hamad Baruch. But level 1, level 2, Kotche Mizbeach, Hoyu B'chol Hamad Baruch. Okay, so then our Mishnah is inconsistent with that, because clearly our Mishnah holds that it applies to level 1. When we took Mamasis Karabban, our Mishnah cannot be inconsistent with the Rabbanon, because look at the Mishnah. That level 1 needs Hamad Baruch. In fact, if it dies prior to redemption, you have to bury it because of that reason. The Tani Sefer, look at the second part of that Mishnah. It makes you cover if the level 1 animal dies, you have to bury it. Presumably because it needs Hamad Baruch. Okay, so that explains why Rav linked our Mishnah with Rav Shimon only. Okay, let's just recap now. We have Tanan Bei Levi, pretty simple. Hamad Baruch applies to level 1, 2, and 3. Level 1 means Kachem Mizbeach, which is inherently Kaddish, suitable for Akrava. Level 2 is Kachem Mizbeach, which was totally unsuitable. And level 3 is Kachem Bedek HaBayis. According to the Chachamim in Maseches Tzemura, according to Rabbi Yechon's explanation, it applies to level 3 and to level 1. But according to Rabbi Shimon Lakish, it only applies to level 3. According to Rabbi Shimon, it applies to level 1 only, and that's perfectly in sync with our Mishnah. So that's the Gemara. So our Mishnah is not in sync with Rabbanon, because in our Mishnah we seem to say that level 1 needs Hamad Baruch, which is inconsistent with Rabbanon. How do you know you need Hamad Baruch? Because the Mishnah says if it dies, you have to bury it. Mimai, how do you know that's the correct explanation? That's the basis for that halacha. Aha, you may so you cover. The reason why you have to bury it if it dies before redemption, Mishum the Badev Adarach, because it needs to be stood up and assessed. Oh, that's the reason. Who says that's the reason? Dilma, perhaps. Mishum, it's based on a totally different reason. You know what's preempting redemption? Mishum Dein. There's no halacha. You can't redeem kodesh material and feed it to the dogs. Disrespectful. Achilim leklavim. Right? There's a halacha. You can't do that. Perhaps that's the who. That's the reason. Amri. So the answer is like this. And Cain, if that's the only reason, so the Mishnah could have found a more simple scenario to illustrate this halacha. Forget about a dying animal. It can be alive and well, but maybe he's alive and not well. He's a treif. And Cain, if that were the only issue, The Torah does not allow redemption to feed a dog. Nisim, the Mishnah could have presented even Asa Treifa, you cover it. It turns out Treifa, so it's inedible, so then you have to bury it. If it all dies, and bury it. Versus redeeming it. Because if you redeem it, you can only feed it to the dogs, right? Why did the Mishnah have to speak about an animal that died? Oh, it sounds like because when it's dead, you can't do Amad Baruch. That's the... factor at play. That's the issue. So again, perhaps the problem is because you're feeding it to the dogs and not because it requires Amad Baruch. Then why speak about a dead animal? Speak about a live animal, unwell, you still can't redeem it. So even though you can stand it up and assess it, but you can't do so because you're going to be feeding it to the dogs. It's only fit for dogs, a treifa, it's not kosher, right? The very fact that the Mishnah chose to illustrate this halacha with a dead animal, apparently it's because of the Hamad Baruch issue. Fiboy Yisema, here comes another pshat. Lo'ilam Rav Kerbichon Spirulim. The truth is that Rav could fully be on Rabbi Yechon's track, which was that according to the Shitas Chachamim over there, Maseches Tzemura, Hamad Baruch applies to level 3, which is Bedek HaBayis, and also to level 1, which is Kasher Mizbeach. Let's revise Rav's statement. That yes, our Mishnah actually is linked with Rav Shimon and the Chacham, as you had proposed. Okay, so in summation, the Torah stipulates that before redemption, you must do Hamada, stand up the animal, Aruch, and properly assess it in that position. When does this apply? According to Tanuvei Levi, in all situations, 1, 2, and 3, Kachim Mizbeach for real, Kachim Mizbeach weak, and Kachim Mizbeach bias. According to Rav Shimon, applies to level 1 only. According to Chachamim, well, depends. According to Rabbi Yechanan, applies to level 1 and level 3. According to Rish Lakish, only level 3. Okay, so this pretty much concludes the first part of our Mishnah, which discusses level 2. An animal which is unfit for carbon, and never really got to the point of Kedushas Aguf, what to do with it, how to deal with it. Okay. Aval Kodim Ekdeshim Mechul. Now comes the next category, the next level, a higher level, level 1. We have a carbon which had been assigned for Mizbeach, and then it got severely blemished, it became unfit. This is what we call Pisuli HaMekdashim, and even after being blemished, and even after being redeemed, it still holds on to certain residual kedushas. The Mishnah says, even after redemption, it's exempt from Bechayra, if it has a firstborn animal, there's no kedusha. Matana, if you don't give the Lizroya, Lechayim, you gave it to the Kayin. Even after redemption, you can't go share it, you can't work with it. The milk, the offspring is Aser, etc. So now we're going to focus on that. But not immediately, how do we know it's exempt from Bechayra Matanis? The Tanur Rabban, we have a Braisa. If you look at the pasuk that describes Pesulei HaMekdashim, let's refer to it as Pesulei in short. Okay, Pesulei are compared to Tzvi V'ayel, different types of Chaya creatures. What's the point of linking it to Tzvi V'ayel? So we equate it to them regarding certain halachas. Torah Rabban, Tzvi, Ma Tzvi Potem HaMekdashim, just like a Tzvi is exempt from Bechayra, which only applies to Behemoth, not Tzvi, which is a Chaya, Pesulei HaMekdashim. Likewise, these are Petur and Bechayra, exempt from Bechayra. No, Oitzianis and Bechayra, perhaps only exempt from Bechayra, but not from Atonis. Vloyitzis Matonis, Amulayo, Ayel. It's compared to a Tzvi and Ayel. What's the point of comparing it also to Ayel? Ma Ayel Potem HaBechayra, Ma Matonis, like Ayel, which is part of the Chaya family, is exempt from both items, Bechayra and Matonis. Likewise, our Pesulei. Av Pesulei, HaMekdashim, Peturin are exempt from both obligations, Ma Bechayra and Matonis. Okay. Look, if you compare it, compare it all the way. We know that the chaylev, the forbidden fats, are only forbidden in a behema, not in a chaya. So perhaps we'll compare psulei to a chaya and permit its fats. Ima tzviv ayel chelba mutter. Okay, so just like the tzviv and ayel, which are from the chaya family, their chaylev is mutter, af psulei mekdosh and chelba mutter, perhaps I'll permit, I'll allow for consumption the chaylev of a psulei mekdosh, despite being a behema. Tamaloyim, no, ach. The pasuk adds the word ach. No. That's going too far. Chalak. Chilek. We differentiate. We don't extend it this far. Okay, Amar. Let's go back and review. By the way, I just saw the name of the Medrash. There's Tanchum Amar Hashem, the Master. Master of all existence. Amar, what does Hashem say? Oitzeh Samchoir. Oitzeh Samatonis. So the Gemara was proposing, perhaps, I should only exempt Bechor and not Matanais. What's the difference? Maishno Oitzis and Bechor. Why would I only exempt the Psulei from Bechor? Why? She'ein Shava Bakoil. So basically it's a Kasha. Maishno, why would I differentiate between one and the other? Why is it easier to exempt it from Bechor and over Matanais? The answer is like this. Oitzis ha-bechor she'en shava b'koil. Perhaps is reason to think. To more quickly exempt Pesulei from b'chor, from having the halacha b'chorah, she'en shava b'koil, which is not universal. It's limited only to the male firstborn. So it's a limited mitzvah to begin with. So perhaps it's easier to put it aside. But not matanos, which apply universally, cross-gender, male animals, female animals. Leitzis amatonis, shavas b'koil. That's what I would think. Talmud Leim, comes the next word in the pasuk, ayel. Compare the psulei to the ayel as well. Ayel is pata from atonis, due to the fact that it's in a keva, it's a chaya. The same with psulei. Ask the Gemara, okay, if we're comparing it, compare it all the way. I'm going to probably not buy it. Look, if you're comparing it to say like this, Matziva Ail Ein Oisev Es Benoy Neig Behen. Just like Tziva Ail, have no mitzvah Oisev Es Benoy. You can shech the mother animal, the offspring on the same day, because it's only applicable to a behema, these are chayos. Perhaps the same allowance will apply to Psulei. Av Psulei Magdoshin Ein Oisev Es Benoy Neig Boy. Okay, so Psulei, retains some carbon status, some kedusha, and it's exempt from certain things. Perhaps we'll add an exemption of Oisev Es Benoy to the list. Amar Lisi says, think about it. What's unique about a Psulei HaMikdash? Because it retains some residual kedusha. That's all. So why would that be a reason to exempt it from Oisev Es Benoy? You see, whether an animal is an ordinary animal, chulin, or whether it's a kodesh animal, Oisev Es Benoy is universal, applies to all equally. So whether this psula is considered carbon or ordinary animal, either way, it had Oisev Es Benoy. There's no reason to exempt it from that halacha. Amrli l'mayim damislo, what are you comparing the psula to? How are you labeling it? Ila chulin, comparing it to a regular, ordinary animal, then surely Oisev Es Benoy would apply Noyeg Boy. Vilakachim, if you're labeling it as a carbon, because it still holds on to some Kedusha, then it's still Oisev Es Benoy will still apply to Noyeg Boy. So there's no logic in exempting it. Amar Lisi says, let's go back. You were proposing that perhaps we should compare the psulei to the tzviva ayel and exempt it from chaylev prohibitions. Well, how does that relate to its status? I mean, whether it's chulin or kachim, chaylev of a behem is aser, so why would I even think to exempt it? Yochik avachel benami, same thing regarding the chaylev topic. Neim achim, we could also argue the same. Why in the world would I exempt it? Why would I allow it? Whatever I label it, whatever I compare the psulei to, whatever category I give it, the chaylev still remains aser. Il chulin chalben aser, vil kachim chalben aser. Whether it's chulin or kachim, it's aser. Oh, so he says, you're right, okay. So apparently we can't use this argument as a, you know, discounter. Ella, rather, the answer is like this. What's your question? We should compare the psule to tzviva ayil or exempt them from oisei espenoi. Lav mi amas ach b'lechelbon, just like we use the word ach to limit the linkage and the comparison. We put chelav out of the equation, and it's still asur. And manami ach b'loisei espenoi. Ach as well can come to place oisei espenoi out of the equation. So regarding these two matters, we do not compare psule to tzviva ayil, and they do apply to the psule. Rav has a slightly different approach. Same result, just a different sourcing. Rav Amar Ach, the word Ach, to limit, you know, the comparison to Tzviva Ayil, Lo Yisrael Es Benoi Das. It's coming for Yisrael Es Benoi to teach that it will apply to psule. Regarding Chelev, V'chelboi, the prohibition on the Chelev of the psule, Midamei Nafka, it's from Damai. Different source in that same pasuk. The pasuk says, actually a different pasuk. The pasuk says, Rak, the siv rak is dama loy seichel. So don't eat, it's blood. Rashi says it's talking about a different version of a disqualified carbon, a b'chor b'almam. Okay, the same idea. Don't eat its blood. Why is that necessary? Why is it necessary to speak out, don't eat the blood of it? I mean, my dummy, what are we talking about? What is dummy referring to? Ilayim adami mamish, literally the blood. Don't eat the blood. Lo yehi el adam adetziva ayil. So we're comparing the psula migdashim to the tziva ayil. Suppose this blood would be legitimately the tziva ayil's blood. Is that a reason to permit it? Of course not. Otu daman the tziva ayil mishari? Since when is the blood of a deer, of an ayil, allowed? Ela, rather, dama is chelvay. When it says dama, it really means the chelav. To teach us that the chelav of a psuli amigdashim is still asr, despite its comparison to the tziva ayil, who achayis, who is fat as mutter, and here it's asr. Says the Gemara, okay, but if it means chelav, why not just say chelav? Alichtoiv chrachmona chelvay, instead of saying damai, leaving it for us to, you know, figure out. Just say chelav outright. The answer is, because Rachman chelav, had the Torah spelled out chelav avamina, would say, yeah, the chelav is asr, but it's not as asr as it typically is. Typically, if one eats forbidden fats, it's kares. Perhaps, by psule, it drops down a level. On the one hand, we have that linkage to tshiva ayil, whose chelav is completely mutter. On the other hand, it says, don't eat the chelav. So perhaps it's somewhere in the middle. It falls in the middle. It's not kareis, not as severe as a regular chelav, but it's asr, it's a lav. That's what I would think. Havamina. Because Rechon HaChelav Havamina, Ani Akeshav, Ani Kro, we utilize the comparison to Tzviva Ayil and diminish the isr of the chelav somewhat. Ani Kro, we have the pasuk, which also helps us, meaning it teaches us that it's asr. Ani Akeshav, Lumutim Yikaris, the Hekesh comes and downgrades it from kareis. The chikaris of kares, they tell us that when the Torah applies kares, that's only on real chelav of a real behema, oichel chelav min behema d'chsev. Shenema kikol oichel chelav min behema. As opposed to here, Rani Kron, the point of the pasuk spelling out not to eat the chelav of a disqualified karm, to make him a live love, to give you a lav baal, but just a lav. So I would think it's somewhere in the middle. Lachi afkir achmon loshen damai. That's why the Torah spelled it out and expressed chelav using the word dam. That is comparable to dam. It's completely holy, 100% asur, with full brunt, full consequence. Leimar lachta teach us ma dami bekaris, just like the dam of these animals are kares. There's no reason to mitigate the isur there. Afchel bekaris, likewise, the chel is fully asur and is kares. Now, just one question. According to Rava, so we know that the chel of the Sule is asur because it says damai. But Rav is explaining that the Braisa, and the Braisa express it differently. V'atana v'atana ach v'leichel b'ka'omer says that ach is coming to limit that comparison to the tzviva ayil and to disallow the chelav of the psule ka'omer. Clearly the Braisa expressed it like that, and you're saying it's from a different pasuk of damai. No, it's all one and the same. V'chikomer, the Braisa meant like this. Ilu loy nemar damai, the Torah would not have said the word damai to prohibit the chelav of the psule. I see, Amat still would have a way to learn it from ach v'lechelbe. But ashash namadam, now that Torah spells out the dam, i.e. the chalev. So we know that from there. Okay, so according to this, the word ach is available to tell you lo'isoy v'esbenoy. The answer is coming to tell you that oisoy v'esbenoy limitation applies to psula mekdashim as well. So bottom line, psula mekdashim, I'll compare it to tzviva ayel to the extent that there's no chiyuv b'chayro, there's no matanis. However, isur chelov, yes, whether it's because of ach or because of damoy and oisoy v'esbenoy as well. Ve'enon yaitz l'chulin. Mishnah continues even after redemption. Can't send it out to the barn to share its wool, to work with it. It's only meant for its own use, to you know, to enjoy it, to shecht and eat the meat. How do I know that anything else, all byproducts, wool and the milk and the right, is asr? Turn around, the pasuk says like this: Tizbach, you can slaughter and eat it. Like Giza, you can't share the wool. Basr, you can have the meat, v'leichol, and not the milk. And then Vachalta teaches V'loil Klovecha. Oh, here's that pasuk. You can't feed it to dogs. Makan. We learn from here. She'ein poidin es hakach machil l'klovin. You can't redeem a disqualified carbon in order to feed it to the dogs. You have to bury it. So the point is, you can't. If the only purpose, the only use is to feed it to a dog or whatever, then redemption is not an option. Okay. Now there's another version. We turn to the basic Adam, a different version of this drasha. The pasuk says Tizbach v'chalta basar, and they learn like this: Tizbach v'chalta goes together to teach ein lecha behen el hetar achilu mishazvicha ve'elach. The only access you have to this psula is through shchita, to eat the meat, as opposed to sharing its wool, enjoying the milk. So what's the difference between this approach and the previous approach? The difference is, because in contrast to the previous version, we had a special pasuk, v'chalta, to rule out the klavim, versus this approach doesn't have that rush. Aval poiden es hakachim, v'chil l'klavim, but there's no issue redeeming it to feed it off to the dogs. Mishnah continues. Vlodon v'chalavon asur l'acha p'dyonon. Even the offspring of this psula mekdashim is asur. Now, before we start the Gemara, let's just get a clear picture of the timing. When did this psula give birth? Basically, we could have three options here. Either it all took place after redemption, so it conceived and birthed after redemption, in which case the Gemara learned that it's simply an ordinary animal. There's no question, it has no kedusha. At this point, there's no problem with the vlad, it has no kedusha. Versus if both occurred before redemption, certainly in that case it has kedusha. It's based on a pasuk we see in the Gemara. In fact, according to some shittos, you can bring it as a cover on the mizbeach. This offspring, this vlad, that has no mum. Rather, Amish is speaking about an in-between type of case. It conceived before redemption, and it gave birth after redemption. Okay, that's the issue here. And on that, the Mishnah says it's asur. It's off limits. What to do with it? We'll see in the Gemara as well. According to some, even in a room till it dies, you can't use it at all. We're concerned, the people, Chacham, are concerned that otherwise the farmer might be tempted to just hang on to the psula mekdashim and let it, breed and let it give birth and, benefit from the offspring, in which case he might leave it around and might end up using the mother animal without a pidyon and cause all kinds of complications. So this offspring is totally off limits. According to others, you actually meant to redesignate it as its own carbon, and then when after birth you take the offspring and you redeem it once it gets a mum, and you take the money and use it for the mizbeach. We'll see that in the Gemara. So we're speaking about this in-between stage, in-between type of scenario where it conceived before a pidyon and it gave birth after pidyon. Let's see how the Gemara spells it out. Hey Chidam, what exactly occurred? Ilema the Abar v'isal l'achem pidyon. Now we're speaking that it conceived and gave birth after the mother animal had been redeemed. This offspring is an ordinary animal in the barn. Amai, what's the issue? Vlad tzviva ayel ninu. The pasuk calls the psuli as tzviva ayel. So at this late stage in the game, after redemption, although the mother animal has some residual, Kedusha, but the offspring conceived and born now is totally an ordinary animal. No limitations, no special status. Ella must be the Aber Lefnei B'dyonon. V'siyah L'lacha B'dyonon. It conceived before redemption, it gave birth after redemption. In which case the Mishnah says it's Aser. What to do, we'll see later. But let's make a deal, let's infer. But suppose both things occurred prior to Pidyon, which is not the topic of our Mishnah, but let's just infer from here. Holifnei Pidyon, if it conceived and gave birth prior to redemption, Migdash Nami Kachi, you mean to say that the offspring has Kedusha, real Kedusha like a carbon. It's not just Asur, it's Kadesh. How do we know that is so? Tanabana, we have a pasuk Zachar, there's a pasuk by the Shlomim, it says either a Zachar or an Akeva. Now, it seems to be superfluous, as Rashi explains. Let us just say he's offering a Shlomim. Why discuss gender if it covers both? Right? If you could, you know. So the pasuk is highlighting Zachar is coming to add the Rabbi Savlad. The offspring of a Shlomim has Kedusha Shlomim. On a cave, the word on a cave, the rabbi said tamura, the switch of the shlam also has kedusha and is offered on the mizbeach. Ve'elu levlad tamimin, tamuras tamimin. Perhaps this only applies to the offspring or the tamura of an unblemished shlam, which has highest level of kedusha, so it carries over to the offspring to the tamura. What about if the mother animal became blemished, vlad balimumin, and there's an offspring, or utamuras balimumin, or the switch of a balimumin? And how do we know that they also deserve to be treated as on the highest level as regular kodesh, animals belong on the mizbeach? Shu aimer im zachar. The word im is coming to add l'ramois even the offspring l'vlad of a bali mumen. The word im nekeva is coming l'ramois tamuras bali mumen. Hence, we know that if we're dealing with level one, meaning an animal which was really designated and meant for a mizbeach, and then it went awry, it got a mum, and it's unsuitable, the offspring of this animal right now in this state is considered kaddish. What to do with that, we'll see in a minute, but that's pretty clear, and let's learn from this pasuk. Versus our Mishnah, which is speaking that it gave birth after it had been redeemed already. Oh, on that, the Mishnah says it's Asr. Oysan, so that triggers the next question. What do we do with them? Oysan v'lodeis, those offspring that emerged after redemption of this level one animal, shlacha b'dyayna, matay aleinu, what's to be done with them? Now, we take a quick pause, and we go back, lifnei p'dyayna, because certainly, the offspring that occurred before redemption, which is Kaddish, based on this pasuk just mentioned. And now we have Machlegas as well. Miflag Pligu, we have Machlegas in terms of the destination of that animal. Ikulam Adamar Kadshi the Karev. Some say, yeah, it's perfectly holy. Put on the Mizbeach, it's a regular Karev. Ikulam Adamar Kadshi Liriya. Others say, no. True, it's Kaddish, inherently Kaddish. We have to send it out to the farm, get it blemished, and forward its value to the Mizbeach. On the one hand, you can say, look, there's nothing wrong with them. I mean, I know its mother is blemished, but its mother had a very high level of Kedusha. Now we have an offspring, and the mother hadn't yet been redeemed. So this offspring is fully suitable for a carbon. Others say, no. In fact, he's coming from a Baal Mum, and he's not suitable on his own, rather for its value. Okay. So that's a side point. Back to our discussion. Our Mishnah is speaking about a different case. We had a level of one animal that conceived, then it was redeemed while carrying the offspring within it, and then it gave birth. That's a tricky case. Lacha b'join and ma'atei alein. What do we do with these vlades that came out after redemption? Amar Rav Huna kaisin l'kipa. Put into this closed room, ve'meisim, this dome, this room, ve'meisim, let them die from starvation, because there's no other option. We're stuck. The heichli avid, what should we do with them? L'kravinu? Put them on the mizbeach? Because kedusha dechuyka asu, they're coming from a diminished kedusha. The mother animal had two strikes against it. First of all, it had once been suitable, then it became unsuitable, became rejected because it got a severe blemish. That's first of all. And also, let's realize this offspring was inside the mother animal while it was redeemed, so it experienced, so to speak, the redemption of the mother. And Rashi says, the offspring is called Yerech Imoy. The fetus is like part and parcel of the mother animal. So technically it experienced redemption, so it's really far gone. So you can't really put on the Mizbeach. On the other hand, Lefrakinu, should I just redeem it outright? No, I can't do that. They're not strong enough. Their Kedusha is not present enough. Lemitfas Pidyonan, to attract the Pidyon. Pidyon is on something which has Kedusha, so the Pidyon affects a transfer of Kedusha. But this Kedusha is not strong enough to be transferred onto something else to overtake, you know, the money or whatever. So we're stuck. So we'll leave it alone, let it die. But there's a different opinion. Amri Marava, they quoted Mishmei Rav Chanina. No. Here it goes. Let's preempt the issue. How? Samach HaPidyon, before you redeem him, Matfis L'Shem Yisrael Zevach. Reassign them, relabel them for the sake of the same carbon. The mother was a Shlamim. That's it. Relabel the offspring as a Shlamim, which will give it its own designation. Sort of separated from the mother. And then when it's born, you can now let it get a blemish, redeem it, put on the and put the money on the Mizbeach, put, you know, buy another carbon. So just a semantics question. You're referring to prior to redemption of the fetus? Samach b'dyaynan? You're redeeming the fetus? Remember the b'nei p'dyanin? Do you mean to say you can redeem the fetus? Remember the b'nei p'dyanin? How can you redeem the fetus? We just said the fetus has a weak kedush. El ema. So how can you, the offspring itself? No, apparently we're not talking about. Redeeming the actual offspring before or after birth. No, it's not possible. As we just said, it's not strong enough to, you know, even after it's born, it's not strong enough. Lemeiro, do you mean to say the bnei p'dian, you know? They're candidates for redemption. Ella, no, rather, ema samach l'pidian imon matfisan. What he meant is before they redeem the mother animal. So a second before that, hold it and go be matfisam, relabel the unborn fetus inside the mother animal as a shlamim, give it its own sort of independent identity. So this way, even after you redeem the mother, the offspring sort of already gained its own independence on its own track to a certain extent. So then when it's born, it has its own identity and you can go redeem it. Now, time am I. So this seems to be a pretty plausible solution. Why did Rav Huna insist that we let it starve? We don't. Amar Levi, like we explained, there's a concern that he might linger around and gzeirah shemi gadla mehen adar nadar. He might, you know, the farmer might be tempted to be megadla mehen adar nadar, to leave the mother animal around, the psulam gadashim, to generate offspring, herds of offspring, if in fact you can use them and benefit from them. In which case, he might end up stumbling and using the mother animal before pidyon. So we don't want that to happen. We disallow any benefit and we just send it off. Okay? Just for a brief recap. So we have the velodais of an animal, a carbon animal, which is a balmum. What happens? So we have three possible scenarios. Either it conceived and gave birth after pidyon. In that case, it's totally your animal, no issue there. If it all happened before Pidyon, it has Kedusha, according to some, you put on Mizbech, according to some, you get, let it get blemished, and you redeem it. Our Mishnah is focused on the middle case, where it conceived before Pidyon, gave birth afterwards. Mishnah calls it Aser. Why? According to Rav Huna, there's a Gzera, we just let it starve, we let it, you know, we don't utilize it. Whereas according to Rav Chanina, you jump the gun by being matrasit, by relabeling it as a shlamim prior to the redemption of the mother, in which case, when it's born, it has its own you know, strong enough kedusha so that you can redeem it. Now comes a side question. Do I have to relabel it as in sync with the mother's kedusha? Is it locked into shlamim? Or could I just relabel it as any karma? Mother's a shlamim, the offspring is an oilam. Ba'imine Ravina asks the question of Sheish's Mala, Shematfisin Chosevach Sheirza. Can I relabel it to any karma? Amalei says no. Em Natfisin, no, you're locked into the mother's kedusha. My time and why? Amalei says, Goma Mesherecha Mesherecha Mbuchar. We connect the Bisharecha by Psalam Gdashim to the word Bisharecha by the Bukhar. Just like by the Bukhar, you're locked into Bukhar, you can't relabel a Bukhar as another carbon. Ma Bukhar, Ema Tfisai, Lechol, Zevach Shi'ez, you can't redirect the Bukhar and turn into any carbon. The pasuk specifies b'char, you can't relabel it and redesignate it. Likewise, by the psulei ein matfisan, it's locked into the mother's kedusha, you can't redirect it. Tanya of sheishes, we have a brisa, which supposed to have sheishes, that in fact the relabeling it is in sync with the mother's kedusha only. So here comes a very long brisa, which is pretty useful review of the whole sugya. We'll present both levels of psulim, level 1, level 2. Level 1 meaning the animal which had potential for akrova, then it went awry, which case, even after redemption, still retains some kedusha. Level 2, which is the weaker kedusha, which is an animal which never had potential for akrova. It was blemished so severely before it was assigned as a carbon, so it only has kedushas damim, which case, after redemption, it's just back in the barn. Tanik was of sheshes. Okay, so we have kachim shekadam mum kabod lagdeshin. This is the weaker one. This is level 2. It had a serious blemish before it was assigned as a carbon. And if then you redeem it, it's back to the barn like a regular animal. Chayav mebchayra matanis and aschiva bchayra matanis bein lefnei b'dyanim lachal b'dyanim. Now, whether before or after redemption, hakoyz is vayved ben and it's a usar barn. A person shares them and work with them. There's no malchus. There's no lav on that. So that is very different than the next level, than the, you know, the kedushas haguf type of. Whether before or after redemption, a nascent tamura, this type of animal has no ability to generate a tamura. It's not strong enough. Before redemption, a person, you know, benefits from it for personal reasons. He has committed mila, because after all, it's the possession of Beis HaMikdash, even though it's not technically carbon material, right? After redemption, there's no meila, it's a regular animal. Its offspring is considered your personal animal, v'niftin t'mimim. And the offspring of this type of animal, even before redemption, here's the punchline, even before redemption, those offspring, even though they're not blemished, they don't rise to a level of kedushas haguf, and you can just redeem it like a piece of wood. Umatfison lchozeva sheyirtzu. Okay, and you can decide to turn into any carbon, even different than the mother animal. It's not bound to the mother animal. Klolos shodava. This is the rule here, the formula. So this type of animal, which had a severe blemish before being made hegdish, it's considered like a regular animal, like your own possession. All you have in them, all you're obligated to do is ilu, to assess it, to evaluate it, and to redeem it. Done deal. It's like a piece of wood. But here comes what's more relevant to us. Level 1. Aval kadam hekdeshin asmum. But if the hekdesh preceded the mum, in which case it rose to level 1, it was inherently kadosh, suitable for carbon, or had a passing, you know, temporary mum before being made a carbon, and after it became hegdish, then it got a severe blemish, so it went sour. So now we're dealing with a totally different level, something which had potential for akrova. It has kedushas haguf, so even after redemption, it's called psulei mekdashim v'nifta. Even after redemption, peturim na'bchir na'tanis, example b'chir na'tanis. Whether before or after redemption, a person works or shares them, it's malchus, right? As the pasuk spells out, you shouldn't work with a carbon. Whether before or after redemption, it has the ability to make a tmura. If a person benefits from it before its redemption, there's no me'ilo. Okay, now, v'loday sein, uv'loday sein kodesh. Its offspring, right, their children are kodesh. I was speaking that it gave birth before it was redeemed, so it's kodesh. As we explained before, it's kaddish, and according to some, you actually put on the mizbeach. Ve'niftin t'mimin, you can't just redeem them unblemished; they're like a carbon. Ve'ein matfisan chozer sheyirtz. And these unborn fetuses inside this level one animal, which had been blemished, the offspring cannot, this unborn offspring cannot be redesignated, relabeled to any type of carbon. If you want to relabel it, gesundheit. But you're locked into the type of kedusha of the mother. Mother's a shlam, you have to redesignate the offspring as a shlam as well. This is perfectly in sync with Rav Sheshes, who taught us likewise. And the Brisa concludes with a general rule, kol shel davar, this is the formula to work with. Harihein, kehegdish, l'chol devareim, this level one animal is like any other hegdish. Ve'ein l'cha behen, ela heter achila b'vat. And the only thing you can do with them is eat them, meaning if they, you know, because of the mum, you can go redeem and eat it, but otherwise, it has all kinds of kedushas. Okay, now, so basically, the first klal was on level two. Klal shodavar, we said, harayin kechul chodvarayin, meaning once it's blemished, it's like a regular animal, you just have to recess and redeem it. And right, so after you redeem it, it's like chulin. Versus here, even after redemption, it's like kodesh, just you could eat it. Now, what's the point of saying kodesh al davar? Typically, that's coming to add something, a klala, an extra formula. What's it coming to add? Another twist and an element to the equation. Klol shel davar derash l'suyei. Klol shel davar in the first part of the braisa, speaking about level two, the kedushas damim. What's it coming to add? To say that it's just a regular animal. What's it coming to? La'suyei shechta mechutz the potter. It's coming to teach us that even before redemption, person shechts it outside the mikdash, she's potter. And that's why the Brisa emphasized, klol shel davar harihein kechul chodvareim, these animals, once they're blemished so severely, they never reach even mizbeach potential, they're like chulin. All you gotta do is redeem it. So if you shecht it outside, you're potter, it's not a real karma. On the other hand, klol shel davar the sefer, the klal at the end of the Brisa, which is level one, what's that coming to say? We turn to the next page. Asuya Chelboy. Teach us the Chel of his Asher. Meaning, that's no different than any other animal. You have a head to shecht it, to eat it, but the Chel of it, it's still Asher. Let's just finish another piece here. Amamar, let's go back and review what the Brisa had said. A Niftin Tzmimin. So, just a quick reference again, we're talking about the level one animal, which had been a proper carbon, had potential, then it went awry, got a severe mum, disqualified it, and if it conceived at that point, and then it gave birth after redemption, Mishnah says it's Aser, Vlad is Aser, you have two approaches, Rav Huna says, let it die, there's no other option. Whereas Rav Chanina, Rav Sheshes learned that there's another way to resolve this, be matfasit, chaparai, before you put to the mother, relabel the offspring, give it its own identity, in which case after it's born, and then it gets blemished, you can go sell it and use the money for a car. Let's have a look at this, let's excerpt this braisa here, the braisa that we just mentioned, and see how it fits with the those two opinions. Omar, Einiftin Tmin. Ein nifte tmimim, vein matfisan chozeva shiirtze. So talking about the carbon which has kushas agof, level one, conceived, you applied it, then it gave birth. Rice says you can't just redeem that offspring while it's unblemished. Ein nifte tmimim, because it has kedusha like a carbon, if the way until it gets blemished. Ve'im matfisan chozev shiirtze nor. It's another point that when you relabel it prior to birth, You're locked into the same kedusha as the mother. You can't just redirect it, as we explained. But let's focus on the first part of this sentence. Tamimim hudalei mifraki. You can't redeem it while it's unblemished. We're talking about the offspring. Habali mum and mifraki. But once it gets a mum, you can redeem it, because that has a strong level of high level of kedusha. Because it has been relabeled, given its own identity. So now, when it's blemished, you can transfer the kedusha onto money, have that money be used for a karma. Which is in contrast to Rav Huna, who said there's no solution for these offspring. Furthermore, l'chol zevach sheyiratzu odei matfisa, the Braisa emphasized, you can't just relabel it to anything that enters your whim. Halo, he says, zevach matfisa, you could relabel it as per the mother's kedusha. Give it its own shlamim identity, echa mishkachas la. So how do you do this? How does it play out? The matfis and lo says zevach and if the mumun, apparently, because you're going to take this unborn fetus and say, well, that's going to be a shlamim, and then you redeem the mother, and then it gives birth. And if the mumun, you can wait till it gets blemished and be paid to the blood. Neimat, yahavat, if the Rav Huna seems to be in direct contradiction to Rav Huna, said there's no solution for this offspring. Amloch Rav Huna, who did not feel about mumun ein niftin. Truth is, the Braisa really holds that even after the offspring became blemished, you can't redeem it. There's no solution. Braisa never meant to give it that option. V'aydet tana reishin niftin t'mimim. The Braisa is merely using symmetrical language to the first part of the Braisa, where we spoke about level two, where there it says that the offspring can be redeemed even unblemished because it's just like a piece of wood; it has no kedusha. Niftin t'mimim. The Braisa in symmetrical style contrasted and said, okay, in the Sefer, which is level 1, you can't redeem it unblemished, but really you can't redeem it at all. And also on account of the Reish, where it said that the offspring can be now relabeled as any carbon you want, because it's just like an ordinary animal, has no kriyal kedusha. Tanam is Sefer, likewise in the Sefer, use symmetrical language. That the offspring cannot be relabeled as any carbon that you wish, but really it means to say that you can't do anything with it. You can't do anything with it. We're stuck. As per Rav Huna's opinion, that the vlad of a psula mekdoshin conceived prior to pidyon and birth after pidyon is totally usher and left to die. Whew, okay, it's pretty complicated Gemara. Let's do a quick chazara. We discussed Hamad of Aracha requirements, whether it applies to all kinds, or only to Bedek HaBayis, or only Kachim Mizbeach. We explain the mission accordingly. Psula Mikdashim is exempt from Chorem Atonis, but is obligated in Chelev Meis Ves Benoi. Psula Mikdashim, you can only have the Basra, not the Cholom, or the Giza, or the Garden Klavim, that's a Machlokes. The offspring of a carbon, all depends. Conceived in birth prior to redemption is certainly Kadosh, according to some, you put on the Mizbeach even. That's based on a pasuk, right? If it conceived and gave birth after redemption, it's your animal. If it conceived prior to redemption and gave birth afterwards, that's the machlekes here. Rav Huna says there's no solution. It's going to Rav Chanina. Rav Sheishes, you preempt the issue by being magdish the offspring prior to birth, prior to redeeming the mother. Then after it's born, it has its own kedusha. And once it's blemished, you can redeem it and use the money to buy your carbon. All the best to you and much, much hatzlacha.